Hi everyone, listening to Faith Family Worship Center's podcast number 185 for July 31st, 2011. In this week's podcast, Pastor Archie will be sharing his message titled Trusting Christ. Enjoy.
All right, we'll go to the Word of God and let's turn our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, just three verses. Shall we stand up as we read the Word of God? Verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Again, Father, we thank you for your word. Pray, Lord, for your anointing and blessing upon your people, upon your servant. Lord, we're totally dependent upon your Holy Spirit, O God. So teach us your word today. O God, touch our hearts. Draw us closer to you. Change our lives. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, to fully trust in you in all the circumstances of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Nice to see Jonathan back. John. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I would like to speak on the topic, trusting Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you really fully trusting in Christ? Amen? Amen. Are you trusting him for your future?
Yes.
For your finances?
Yes.
Amen? For your family?
Yes.
And for the unforeseen circumstances that you may go through? Well, praise God, we have a trustworthy Savior. And that's what I want to speak this morning. This is a last of our series on pursuing Christ. And this is a discipleship series. We talk about obeying Christ, loving Christ, serving Christ, needing Christ, and sharing Christ. And this morning we'll talk about trusting in Christ. And in your trusting Christ, how secure are you in your anchor with him? So these are the things that I would like to deal this morning as we look at these verses. Now, someone said or has described that the life of an overcoming Christian is like a punch bag. I don't know if you have seen that children toy, you know, it's a bag or a balloon filled with air, but at the bottom is a weight. It's a weight. And that punching bag always bounces back whenever you hit it. And I believe you have seen some of these toys. And no matter how hard you hit it, it always bounces back. You can hit that bag 100 times, and 100 times it will stand up. You can throw that bag across the room, and it will stand up and bounce back. And that's what the life of our overcoming Christian should be. That whatever the devil, whatever life will throw on your way, you always, praise God, you will be up and bounce back. Amen. Now, the secret to that punching bag's resilience, of course, is the weight at the bottom of that balloon, isn't it? And the weight stabilizes and controls the bag no matter what kind of blows, lands against it. So the child's bouncing bag is like a parable of our life. Parable of our life. And really, if you realize it, sometimes we're hit by pretty good sometimes. And praise God, we can bounce back. Family problems can knock us to the floor. Financial woes can stagger us and cause us to lean hard on one side. Discouragement and sometimes despair comes along and knock us down across the floor of our lives. And these things happen to everyone, Christians included. This ever happened to you? Amen?
Amen?
When I say, can I have a witness, can you say amen?
Amen.
Because when a preacher says that, can I have a witness? I'm asking you to tell me or to tell other people that you've gone through and experienced the same thing.
Yes.
Amen. So the difference between a believer who bounces back and a Christian who is flattened and stays on the floor is not that one person is smarter, that one person is richer or is stronger than the other. The difference is not in the fact that God favors one, favors the bouncing back Christian, and does not favor the flattened Christian, because the Bible says He loves all of His children. Amen? So I would suggest that the difference between the believer who bounces back and the believer who stays on the floor is the fact, is the size of the weight that anchors their lives. So what is anchoring your life? Now, Jesus is the only one person strong enough and heavy enough to anchor your life. You know that? Now, since every Christian has equal access to the power and authority of Christ, I would add that the difference between a Christian who is not held down by circumstances and problems and the Christian who is held down by everything is found in the answer to the question I ask you. How fully are you trusting Christ? Are you fully anchored and secure in Him? Because the Bible says He is the anchor of our soul, firm and secure. The Bible says that He is our refuge and His strength and ever-present help in trouble. The Bible says He's our rock, our fortress, and all the river. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. Hallelujah. One preacher called Psalms 91 as our what? Divine insurance policy. And our sister, when he prayed, she quoted some of the scriptures over there. And verse 1 says, He that dwelleth in the what? Secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And it will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust. You see that? You can only have that insurance policy if you put your trust in Him. Amen? Amen. Who is the refuge? Who is our fortress and who is our deliverer. So this morning, I would like to help you add a new stability in your life so that you will not be knocked down by circumstances. Amen? So what does it mean to trust in Jesus? First of all, to trust in Jesus means that you keep your focus on Him. Look at the verse that we have already read. It says here, because your focus is in life is all important, the author of Hebrews tells us about our focus. He said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily beset us or entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Now, if you have read the book of Hebrews as a background is written to a group of Christians or believers who were getting knocked out and punched on every side, and they were thinking about just giving it up and quitting and going back to Judaism because they were being persecuted and they were suffering. So they were planning or thinking of giving up. Have you ever thought of giving up? Huh? Have you? Many times in my life, I've thought of giving up. Giving up. But praise God, the grace of God, the power of God, the love of God is sustaining me, and I'm still here today by the grace of God. Hallelujah. But the author of Hebrews tells them not to quit, but to look on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our strength. And He is the one who will be able to give them the strength they need to continue. Amen. So first of all, when you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Jesus for His witnesses. It says here, one way the Hebrews could strengthen their faith was to look around them and see the special witnesses. You know, if you ever been to a race, you know, this Olympic game, you see that on the TV. There are witnesses or spectators on the what? On the bleachers, right? They were not only cheering. These spectators are not only cheering or in a cheering section, but they are giving a witness to these people and said, I have been there, you can also make it, right? So God has given them these witnesses to urge them unto victory. And these are the witnesses referred to us or referred to in Hebrews 12:1. He says, this cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Now, if you look at this chapter, it starts with what? The word therefore. Now, when you see that word therefore, all right, what is it therefore? Isn't it? Well, you have to remind that the therefore comes because of chapter 11. All right? So chapter 11 talks about the hall of faith in the Christian life. Hebrews 11 is a roll call of the great men and women of faith who did not quit but hung in there and gained the victory. Those people took the hardest blows of the world, the flesh and the devil could deliver, but they bounced back. So these people whom experienced the severe blows of life, yet stood strong in their faith and bounced back, is testifying to us today that if they made it by the grace and the power of God, we can also make it today. Yes. Amen. Well, thank God for witnesses like Abraham, like Moses, like Sarah, like Rahab, David. We need to read on the lives regularly. We need to remember that we are not the first believers. We are not alone. We are not the first one who are experiencing the problems we are going through. But they have experiences as the things that were experienced today, and praise God, because if they made it, we can make it. Amen. As I said, when a preacher asks, can I get a witness? He wants to know if there is anybody out there who knows what he's talking about, who can say, yes, Pastor Archie, I have been there, and I can tell you that if you trust in Jesus Christ, he will see you through. And I look at your life, and many have gone through some of those problems. You're still here, standing up, bouncing back. Amen? Because of grace and the power of God. Amen. So the author of Hebrews was saying, I am about to state a major truth right now. Can I get a witness? So he wanted them to hear from the people who had been there and experience what they're going through. So when we have discovered and when we're discouraged and want to quit, we need to hear from the Bible's witnesses, like Abel. You know what? Abel, who was Abel? He was the first who got martyred in the Bible. You know that? Abel took life's ultimate blow. He was murdered by his brother Cain. But because Abel was righteous man, the Bible says God himself testified about his life even after his death. In Hebrews 11, verse 4 says, by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. What a life that he lived. That's why we're still learning and looking at the life of Abel today, because God is testifying for him. Now, when you die, will God testify for you? Huh? Hallelujah. Praise God. So in Abel, we have a witness that when we're faithful to the program and to the will of God, even death doesn't silence our testimony, because God keeps talking about us. So don't be afraid of death, because whether in life or in death, we are still on the winning side. That's why Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Outside of the body, present in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Now, he's another witness, Enoch. Hebrews 11, 5. The Bible says, by faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. He's the only person in his generation who stayed faithful to God, and he did not experience death. Now, a little boy explained that Enoch and God were talking and walking one day. They were close to each other. And God said to Enoch, Enoch, we are closer to my house than to your house. So why not just come home with me? So he just went home to the Lord. He did not experience death. Amen. And many of us will experience that. Amen. Those who are here, the Bible says, when Jesus comes, what did he say? In the twinkling of an eye, right? We shall be changed. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are living at the time will be changed, and will meet with Jesus in the air, and will be with him forever and ever. So Enoch is just a representation of those believers who will experience the rapture. Now we talk about another faithful witness, Deacon Stephen. It's not mentioned in Hebrews 11, but he gave a witness that's important here, because just before he was stoned to death, the Bible says that Stephen looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God as his welcoming committee into heaven. So when you trust Christ, before you die, you will see Jesus Christ face to face. Amen. So that's why we don't have to be afraid of death. Now we have another witness here, Noah. Hebrews 11, verse 11. The Bible says, by faith, Noah, when warned about things that seem, not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. Noah had to build a boat on dry land and preach for 120 years to a congregation that wasn't listening. 120 years to a congregation who was not listening. And you're not congregation, of course, right? And he had one message. And his message says what? It's going to rain. That was his message. It's going to rain. It had never rained before. Nobody did know what rain looked like. All he knew was that God told him to build a boat that three times the length of a football build, right? Noah worked during the day and preached during the night. But you know what? God delivered him and his family. When the floods came, when the storm came. And so Noah is witnessing to us today that if you are faithful to God, God will give you safety, will protect you, even in the greatest storms of your life. Can I have a witness?
Amen.
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 I'm excited about Jesus. Are you excited about God?
Yes.
Then he tells about Abraham and Sarah. Hebrews 11, 8 to 12. It says, by faith Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful, who had made the promise. Even though they did not have the physical ability to produce a son. You know how old was Abraham at the time? He was 100 years old. And Sarah was what? 90 years old. Have you ever heard of a woman having a baby at 90 years old? So physically, it was impossible. But what they could not do for themselves, God made it possible. So the witness to us today, Abraham is saying to us today that God is a God of miracles. Do you believe that? God is a God of miracles. And when Sarah laughed to herself because she heard God told Abraham, Abraham, your wife will bore a son next year. And Sarah laughed in her heart. And God heard it. And God said to Abraham, why did your wife Sarah laugh? Huh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I'm asking you that question today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Of course, the answer, you know, nothing. 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 As the song says, was it nothing? It's impossible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible with God, and all things are possible to those who what?
Believe.
Then there was Moses, Hebrews 11, 24 to 26, who was tempted by the luxuries of Egypt, but decided to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So Moses is a witness to us that if you live for the praises of God, it will be worth it all. Hebrews 11, 26 says, he regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking for his reward. You know, brothers and sisters, our greatest rewards are not material things, but are eternal things. And the Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You cannot imagine the greatness of God. You cannot imagine the blessings, the inheritance that you will receive in Christ. Amen. That's what he's talking about. So the author of Hebrews says he could go on and on and on, but you get the point here that if you stay true to Christ, if you remain faithful, if you put trusting in your Christ, God will be faithful to you. And God is saying, look at his witnesses. Listen to the witness. Hang out with people who have run the race and won, not those who quit in the middle of the race. Romans 15:4 says, for everything that was written, everything that was written in the Bible in the past was written to teach us. It means you and me. So that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So if you get discouraged today and you think that you cannot make it, just look at the Word of God. Look at the lives of saints like Abraham, like the Apostle Paul, like Peter. Live their lives. I mean, look at their lives. Listen to their witness. And you will be encouraged, because if they made it by the power and the grace of God, so can we make it, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and is no respecter of persons. Amen. Amen. So thank God for his witnesses. Clouds of witnesses. And you can have a witness in your life too. You witness about how God has delivered you, how God has healed you, how God has touched your life. And God can use you to what? Encourage others so that they will go on serving, loving, and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these witnesses that God has given us, we have to imitate their examples. Amen? All right. Secondly, trusting in Jesus, trust Jesus to set you free. So as you learn to trust Christ with every area of your life, and as you look at some of these witnesses, all right, around you, the second thing you need to look to is yourself, right? And trust God, trust Jesus Christ to fix the things that are needed to be fixed in our life. You need to let Jesus set you free from the things that are entangling you and hindering you in your what? Walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Hebrews 12:11 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. So here, the author of Hebrews is again giving us an example or a metaphor of a runner, running a race. Now, no runner can compete in a race with heavy weights on their ankles or running the race with heavy suits, right? Wrapped up around their bodies. No. They strip down to the essentials of his running outfit. So he will carry no more weight than is absolutely necessary. And actually, if you look at the uniforms of track and field runners, their uniform is very thin and very light. That's why sometimes they call them thin clads. So we need to trust Christ to help us get rid of the things that weigh us down in our Christian life. Amen? And what are the things that weigh us down? I'd like to mention just three. Three things. Number one, people. You think people does not drag you down? Huh? Some people do. People are negative. People who are defeatist about everything, they drag you down. and they discourage you. Now, I'm not saying that we avoid people who are in need. No, that's what I'm saying. But I'm talking about people whom we choose to spend, and they influence us. And sometimes, even on the phone, you talk to them and everything is negative that spews out of their mouth. Right? So, these are the people that drag us down. But we need to surround ourselves with people who are positive. Amen. Who are going to help us fulfill the calling of God upon our lives. If you want to fly and soar in your faith, as someone said, fly with the eagles. Don't stay with the chickens. Soar with the eagles. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They shall they shall fly like the eagles. Praise the Lord. That's why try to avoid people who are negative, who are critical. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Encourage them, rebuke them.
Amen.
Amen. Secondly, our past is entangles us, right? You know, the problem is all of us have passed. Even the most godly among us has passed that are bad, that we're ashamed to talk about. All of us. It's no exception. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the question is, are you living in your past? Huh? Are you living in the regrets of the past? Now again, I am also referring to the choices that we have made in the past and the words that we have spoken that we are not supposed to speak. Right? And we regret about those decisions. But it's time to go forward. We don't have to spend much time looking back at yesterday and regretting our past mistakes and become paralyzed today with fear, and we don't have to risk anything, unable to move on today and for tomorrow. Because we can spend so much time fretting over old failures and we will never achieve success. You know, how many times did Thomas Edison experimented before he was able to invent that light bulb? 1,000 times. And you ask him how many failures he had. He said, these are not failures. These are just opportunities. And Erwin Lutzer wrote a book on failure, the backdoor to success. You know that? So don't live on the failure of the past. Amen. Live for today, because God is a God of today and God is a God of the future. God is a God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance. His grace is infinite and His mercy is everlasting. Amen. His faithfulness lasts from generation to generation. He's faithful. One analogy for a Christian who let the past dominate their lives is like a rearview mirror in your car. Now, you can drive while looking at behind all the time. Can you do that? We choose your neck. Look at the mirror all the time. If you do that, you're going to hit another car. Or you stay off to the curb. You're going to meet an accident, isn't it? So, but you need to look in front of you to another mirror. And that is what? What we call the windshield, isn't it? The windshield. So that's why your windshield is wide and big and your rearview mirror is small. And so that you look your rearview mirror once in a while, all right? But you have to focus ahead most of the time. Otherwise, you'll be entangled in a traffic or in an accident. So the past, forget about the past, all right? Your failures, you can make it with the Lord. All right, the other thing that entangles us are what we call playthings. And what are these? What are these playthings? These are the fun and games of life, the toys that can rob your faith of its vitality if you let them get out of hand. I mean, these things are not bad in themselves, right? For some Christians, the problem is too much. Television. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Too much. Too much Facebook.
Yeah.
Too much sports. It can be too much golf or too much what? Time and energy invested in some other hobby. You know, I said these things are not wrong in themselves, but when these things, the fun and games, will keep your Bible closed and will keep you off from your knees, then they are bad, and the Bible says it becomes a sin. It becomes a sin. That's why if you look at this verse, it refers the sin. It's not plural. It's a sin, the sin that entangles us. The sin is singular, not plural. Why? Because everybody who is entangled by the same sin, which is unbelief, right? Notice chapter 11, again, the focus of chapter 11 is faith, right? Faith. But now if you look at this, chapter 12, this verse 1, it says, talks about the sin. And what is the opposite of faith? Unbelief. The sin that easily entangles us. So the sin of unbelief is the failure to trust Jesus Christ enough to act upon His word. It was unbelief that kept the Israelites out of the promised land. It is unbelief that hinders every Christian from entering into our spiritual inheritance in Christ. And the failure to trust Him is the root of every other failure we will experience. So in the final analysis, everything that is wrong in our lives is wrapped in unbelief. And until we deal with that sin of unbelief, we won't be able to get rid of the other sins that will entangle us. Amen? And your willingness to obey Jesus Christ, even though obeying Him is the least thing you want to do, that's the essence of trusting in Him. Amen? Essence of trust in Him is to obey Him. And to take Him at His word. That's why the Bible says in James, faith without works is dead. So we need to trust Jesus to deal with the sin of unbelief and set us free from its entanglement. Amen? Now the second point in these verses is not only to trust Jesus to keep you focused, but to keep your eyes and Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 again says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. So the idea is what? Well, we look at the witnesses and the pleasers once in a while, be encouraged by the witness. We look at ourselves when we are running, and look at the sin that entangles us, remove them. But most of the time, our focus should be fixed on Jesus Christ. Amen? So don't fixate on yourself. Otherwise, you'll have neurosis. Okay? So our focus will be in one direction and one direction alone. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's our example. That's why he says here that he's our example. Look unto him who persevered, so that we will not lose heart and beware. So how do we know when we are keeping our life focused on the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one, keep him in first place. It's the first place in your life. Huh? You know you're trusting Christ the way he wants you to trust him when you keep him in first place. That means that not letting anyone or anything else supplant him as the center of your worship. Is the center of your worship, the center of your service, and the center of your love. You love Jesus Christ more than anything. Amen. You remember the story of Mary and Martha again? Jesus went to visit them, and Mary became so distracted with the preparation of a big meal, and he was upset with her sister, because her sister was just sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to every word that Jesus spoke. And Mary was upset with her sister, so he was angry with her. So what happens is that Martha's failure to put Jesus first in that day cost her a horizontal relationship with her sister, messed up. Not only that, she messed up her vertical relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ because she was upset of Jesus too. She said Jesus did not care because she was doing all the work by herself. So why should we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ? Well, it says here, he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Is the originator and completer of our faith. Amen? You get that? The author and the finisher of our faith. The originator and completer of our faith. The Bible says he is the Alpha and the Omega. Omega, where's Omega? There's Omega here. It's the Alpha and the Omega. Hallelujah. And what is the Alpha and Omega? It's the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. When the Bible says that, it includes everything in between. Jesus is the whole alphabet of our faith. Everything we'll ever need is in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Amen? Now, the English language only contains how many letters? English teachers. 26 letters, right? If you go to the Library of Congress and pours over millions and millions and billion volumes of pages in the collection, this is the biggest library in the world, all right? You would find that all the English words in that library are made up of how many letters? Only 26. 26. Which means that you can tell a story, you can write a poem, you can write a volume, an encyclopedia with only these 26 letters. In the same way with Jesus, everything that you need for your faith, godliness, is found in Jesus, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the originator and completer of our faith. That's why Paul says, what did he say in Philippians 1:6? Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says in 2 Timothy, what is this? I am, forgot the verse. But anyway, he says, I am persuaded, he says, that he is able to do what? To entrust on him the things that have started until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is able? The Lord is able. He has started the work in your life. He will also finish the work in your life. Amen? So trusting Jesus also means that you let him set the pace. Since Jesus, the beginning and the end of our faith, everything in between, the wisest thing we can do is trust him to lead the way, to set the pace for our lives. Amen? Now, have you ever watched the sports of rowing? Those rowers? Now, if you look at those rowers, they were rowing on their back towards the finish line. So, how do they know where the finish line would be? Have you wondered, would that be? What are these rowers looking? What are they directing their focus on? They're directing their focus to a person on the back. They call this the coxswain. And that person directs the rowers by calling out the exact cadence and the rhythm, all right? So he's setting the pace. So responsibility of the rowers is only to move in sync with the person's cadence and dictate. So they don't have to turn around, because if they turn around to look at the finish line, they'll be in a what? They will break the rhythm and throw off everyone else. So that person in the back is saying to them, look at me, listen to me. I have my eye on the finish line. I can see where we need to go to win. Let me set the pace for you. And that's what Jesus is telling us. Amen. We need to let Jesus Christ set the pace and direction of our lives, because he knows where the finish line is. We need to trust Christ, because who can direct our lives and give us the direction so that we will win the race of life. Amen. So in Jesus Christ, we have everything. Let him set the pace for your life. Focus your eyes on him. Then it says here, the joy. What is the joy of trusting Christ? There's a joy. There's a joy in serving God. There's a joy in what? Trusting Christ. Look at our workers. They spend all their time here. Every morning, they wake up early. Genesis, he would wake up 5 o'clock in the morning just to prepare for the BVS every morning. Why would they do that? Look at Sister Maricel, my wife, all the workers. Sister Amanda, who cook every morning. Sleepless nights. Why do they do that? Why do they have to sacrifice that? Because of the joy of the Lord in serving God, in seeing the lives of these young kids just loving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So there is a joy in trusting Jesus. That's why Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, is scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What joy was there for Jesus at Calvary as his hand suspended between heaven and earth for the sins of the world? He did not endure the cross. He did not enjoy the cross. He endured the cross. The joy was that he was accomplishing on the cross by providing the redemption of the world. Amen? By providing redemption for us. I could just see the face of Jesus Christ filled with joy because you are here today, worshiping God, loving God. Amen? Serving God, because we are a great family. He loves us so much. He went to the cross so that he could bring a big family to heaven. that includes us. And I believe also that Jesus, the joy of Jesus is because he saw beyond the cross was the joy of knowing that after his suffering, humiliation, and death, there awaited him exaltation at the right hand of the Father. It says he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is an exaltation that no one has ever seen, and no one will ever receive except the Lord Jesus Christ. And that exaltation someday will be acknowledged and confessed by every human being. As the Bible says, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Every human being under heaven, every angelic being under the earth will confess. All one day, all creation will confess that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Jesus looked beyond the cross and saw the throne. And the only way to go through the throne, to get the throne, is through what? The cross. So in our lives today, brothers and sisters, the only way we look at the throne is through our cross. Did you get that? That's why Jesus said, if any man want to become my disciple, what do you have to do? He must deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. And the joy was not only for Jesus, it's also for us. Amen. There's joy in trusting the Lord Jesus. There is joy in serving the Lord. That's why our joy is waiting for us beyond the cross. Amen. That's why we don't want to focus on people. We don't have to focus upon our past, but we focus on Jesus Christ, who is the source of our joy, who is the source of our success. The Bible says, night, tears may come at night, but joy comes in the morning. There may be tears in your life now, and you're going through problems and trials. But I can assure you, brothers, sisters, that the tears will not last. There's a joy that's coming in the morning. Hallelujah. And the greatest joy that we will experience when Jesus welcomes us into his presence and says, you've been faithful, my servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Amen. So are you trusting Jesus this morning? Are you? Am I? Let's put our trust in Jesus Christ.
And that was Pastor Archie on his sermon titled Trusting Christ. If you'd like to join us for a Sunday service, our address is 6535 West Berry Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. Our telephone number is 773-888-FFWC, that's 3392. You can contact us by email. Our email address is contactus@ffwcchicago.com. Our website is ffwcchicago.com. Until next time, take care and God bless. Bye.